Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for more of your listener questions here on a Wednesday. We have a great question from listener Jen today from up in Connecticut. She's asking for ideas to keep things fresh on each trip. She's thinking about taking the kids to do four parks in one day, maybe the dessert party for Illuminations, or even H2O Glow Nights at Typhoon Lagoon. We'll give our opinions on that and more, so stand by for that. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. I've been doing just that over the last few months, and we're getting very close, 20 days to go, till we check into Disney's Port Orleans Riverside Resort before the Be Our Guest podcast cruise. I can't wait. I'm looking down at my iPhone XS Max at the moment, and the Wicked Witch is staring me down from the end of Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And I've got a blue background because the Blues are in the playoffs. We're having a great time getting audio alerts every day. I get excited every time I post to social media, get a text message, or make a phone call. You can do the same. Turn that Apple device into a Disney device right now today. Check them out over at virtualmickey.com. A huge shout out to everybody who's getting those sneakers, flip-flops, sunglasses, and sunscreen for the summer over on Amazon. Using our Amazon affiliate link, it's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You might not think that your small purchases matter, but they really do. They add up, and we appreciate it so very much. So when you do that shopping this summer on Amazon, please first click through our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1494 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday for you, to you, whoever you are, wherever you are, to you, for you, and about you. Whatever. We're going to have a good time today answering your list of questions. I'm just giddy because we are all three here for a change. We are excited to have the crew back together to answer your questions. Joining me today from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, The Mouse for Less, and She Moonlights over on Woodway Radio every now and then. We have Ricky. What's going on? Ricky, how do you spell your name? That was like half the show this week.
It was definitely half the show. So for those who don't know, it's RikkiNibelett. It's a very difficult name to spell. Trust me, I'm well aware of that.
And it's Matt Parrish with two T's and two R's, right? That's what he said.
That's right, exactly.
I love Matt.
Wow.
Yes, interesting.
Nobody spells my name right. It's the truth. I mean, it just doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah, so. You should see the emails that come in that I read. It's never right, but it's okay. Sure. It sounds never. The same.
Well, maybe now that I've spelled it out for people, they'll spell it correctly now.
All right. Let's get to the guest who is back. We're so glad to have her. Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. Pam, how you doing? Glad to have you back.
I'm glad to be back. And I will say, people can sometimes spell my last name right, but regardless of how they spell it, they still, at the end of the day, 9 times out of 10, pronounce it as Foster.
What?
That's interesting.
It happens. Yeah, telemarketers. It happens when we're like at a restaurant. It happens like whatever. I'm just like, how did you get F-O-R-R-E-S-T-E-R. How'd you get Foster from that?
Wondering. That's not right. So
the double R's are silent, apparently.
The best thing is my uncle one time, he went to get a pizza and the guy called out pizza for nitwit. And my uncle went right here.
That's awesome. That's a good uncle right there.
That's
always an uncle story.
Right there.
Yeah. All right. Can't top that, but let's get to the question. Scott Wortman in our live chat on Facebook. Join us usually on Monday nights around 5:45. I'll give in to that now that we don't start usually at 30. We'll start at 45.
I didn't want to listen yesterday when I tried to tell him that.
That's it. All right. Scott Wortman says, best moderate resort and pool. We talked about this in the pre-show. I'm going with Coronado Springs and the dig site. Pam, you agree?
Yes, I said that's the correct answer. There is no other right answer. These are the correct answers.
And apparently my answer of serpent slide.
You can say something else, but it's wrong.
No serpent.
No. I mean, you know, there's lots of things. But I love that Coronado dig site pool. And, you know, one of the reasons why is enough seating.
Yes, it's got
adequate
a lot of
seating.
That's true.
I mean, you know, because you can't be in the pool the whole time. But
no.
When I'm at Disney World or on a vacation, that's one of the few times I get to read my Kindle, people. I need a place to sit down. So I have a limited, you know.
You can't put that Kindle in the pool. That does not work.
No, wouldn't that be awesome, though, actually, now that I'm thinking about it? I do sometimes read, like, I'm in the pool, but the Kindle's out of the pool. Sometimes that happens, too.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to a question from Tim. He can't hang out tonight, but he is always in the chat. He has something going on. He says, can't stay, but I have a question. Can you talk about the best strategy if Disney cancels your FastPass Plus and gives you an anytime FastPass? We got one last month, and we're mystified and a little panicked. Good info to have, I think. All right, so let's talk about this, because sometimes, say, for example, a ride goes down. You have a FastPass for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. For some reason, it's not working. You know, your FastPass window come and goes. And this is where, if that happens, you need to sometimes check your email. I know you don't like to check your email that's associated maybe with your My Disney Experience account on vacation. I try to stay away from my email because it makes me like, ooh, the email box has 7,000 emails. And I'm like, I don't want to see it till I get home because I'm on vacation. But sometimes Disney will communicate, hey, you now have an anytime FastPass for the rest of the day. It's good for these attractions. Usually most of them, sometimes not the highest level e-tickets like a Flight of Passage or a Seven Dwarves or something, Frozen Ever After. Sometimes they're good, though. Ricky, what do you say for like a strategy when you get this opportunity? I go for like the hardest one to get that I can't usually get. I'm just trying to cash it in.
That's exactly what I do. So there are a couple of stipulations. So if you have a Seven Dwarfs Mine Train one, a Avatar Flight of Passage, or a Frozen Ever After, I think those are the three, then you have the ability to use that for those attractions or any other attraction in the park. If, for example, you had a Space Mountain one and Space Mountain went down, you would have the option to use that FastPass for any other attraction except for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. So it's like the big three, you can't, unless you have the FastPass for those, you can't like go, score, now I have a FastPass for the attraction I couldn't get on before. Like, unfortunately, mm-hmm. It doesn't work that way. But yeah, I always try to use it for, if it's one like, say in this instance, a Space Mountain, then yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and use it for Space Mountain later when it comes back up. But if, for example, it's for an attraction that's maybe not as high tiered, so maybe a Pirates or something like that, and then it becomes an anytime fast pass, and then it says I can ride, you know, Splash Mountain or Space or whatever, then yes, yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and go, cool, I'm going to go ride one of those instead. So, just take a look. The instructions tell you, like in the details, they tell you which attractions you can use that FastPass for when they notify you. You do get an email. Also, sometimes I've noticed I'll get like the push notification. Yep. Or, you know, when I just, sometimes the push notification doesn't come in. So, you know, when I log in and I see, oh, hey, my FastPass is an anytime FastPass. You know, then I'll do it for that too. But yeah, I love the anytime fast pass.
Yes.
It's awesome.
They are awesome. Cause because then you can use it usually the rest of the day. You're not like locked into a time window.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, there's no time limit on it too. So, then you can make another fast pass. If it's your fourth fast pass, your bowling fast pass, you can then go ahead and make another fast pass and still have that extra fast pass in the queue that you don't have to use until you want to use it. I think it expires either that day or the following day. Yeah. So I think you only have a limited amount of time to use it, but still, score. It's a win.
I agree. Pam, and that's a good way to handle a situation like that, because it could be disappointment, but Disney's doing everything they can to give you an experience that's at least equal to, or, you know, it may not be equal to, but it's close. So Pam, any other thoughts for the anytime fast passes?
I just want to make it clear, too, that if a ride goes down, you can always use it for that attraction that went down later on in the day. And that's really important. So, like, say it did happen to be for Seven Dwarfs and, you know, your whole family's like, oh, my gosh, we had Seven Dwarfs. You know, we really wanted it. The whole rest of the day, you'll be able to use it when it comes up. And if you have other questions, the other thing you can do is visit the attraction where the fast pass went down. Those cast members will be able to give you the stipulations of the fast pass that you were given and all of that. So, yeah, I mean, I actually like it when a fast pass goes down or when an attraction goes down too. I know it's horrible, but the last time I was in Magic Kingdom, just to give you a sense of that, I was doing the rolling fast pass thing, and I had gotten a fast pass for, I think, Jungle Cruise, maybe something like that, just like a mid attraction, something that I liked and I wanted to do. It wasn't, of course, my preferred one. Well, it went down, so then I was able to get Big Thunder Mountain.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it was like, oh, this was a no brainer.
And then you get the fast pass for Jungle Cruise later again, too. So
exactly, yeah.
Roll back around again. Yeah.
Exactly. So I really like it. I'm always like, yes, that it went down. But I mean, you know, unless I have my day planned to a T, which folks, you know, I don't. So, no. So yeah, I think it's a big win usually.
All right. So Paul Hook in the live Facebook chat's got a question. Ricky, which Disneyland Paris rides are not to be missed and which ones that are in Walt Disney World are still worth it at Disneyland Paris? So what do you think?
So I'm going to say all of them at Walt Disney World are still worth it at Disneyland Paris. They are all so, first of all, most of the attractions are the same. There are very few that are different. But my favorite attractions out of all of them that I did at Disneyland Paris were going to be at Disneyland Park. It was Big Thunder Mountain for sure. That was definitely my favorite. Hyperspace Mountain, which was awesome. I also enjoyed their Pirates of the Caribbean is just phenomenal over there. That by far is my favorite version of Pirates I've ever been on. And I very much enjoyed, their It's a Small World, because there's so many more characters in there. There's so many more cultures that are represented, which I liked a lot. I know for sure I would be saying Phantom Manor if I would be able to see it, but unfortunately it was closed while I was there. At the Walt Disney Studios Park over there, definitely the Ratatouille attraction. I think that that's one. I know everybody loves Crush's Coaster. I thought it was fine. It's just a Wild Mouse coaster for the most part. And then I was, you know, for everything else is kind of like over there. So I know Rock and Roller Coaster is closing, so you're not going to be able to do that soon. You know, like I said, they're going to be doing some major renovations over at the Studios Park over there. So for now, there's not as many that I would say, but I'm sure there will be coming soon.
All right, a question from Krista here in the live chat. This one will go for Pam. I have a dinner reservation for Sanaa, but I would rather eat in the lounge, I think. Do I cancel the resi and hope to get a table in the lounge or keep it and ask the hostess if we can sit in the lounge or something else I'm not thinking of? So what do you think? She's going to a restaurant, Sanaa, got a dinner reservation, but she prefers to have the lounge seating. What would you do?
So I would go ahead then and cancel the reservation, really. And the reason is that if you don't, then you can, you know, be asked to pay for that because it was sort of like a no-show. You didn't. Now, one of the, you know, the cast member may actually, you know, replace one with the other. But I'm saying, I think what you should do is go ahead and cancel, because some may not. Some are actually more sticklers about it than others. And so the thing is that if you go there and you end up sitting at the lounge, it may not count towards fulfilling that, you know, that you sat in your seat. So I have rarely had a problem eating at the lounge. Now, every now and then, of course, there's a whole big family or a group in there, and it's probably me and a bunch of people I know. Every now and then you go in and that happens. Mm-hmm. So you can't totally bank on it. But like you, I like being able to just roll up to the lounge at a time that's convenient for me. And usually I'm willing to wait a little bit. You know what I mean? Because I didn't have this, like, you know, ADR that I was sort of trying to plan my whole day around. So, but I've rarely had a problem with that.
And I would say that the dinner times, you know, the heavier traffic times are, the lounge is obviously going to be, have the chance to be filled than, you know, other times that are off. So mm-hmm. just keep that in mind too.
But I might keep it though and just ask the hostess. I think she would count you as being there mm-hmm. if you just went into the lounge. You know, like, wouldn't they? I mean, you showed up and you're at the same restaurant. You're just going to the lounge instead of the
dinner room. Yeah, but you took a table.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But I still think they would have mercy on
you. I mean, I think they probably would, but that it wouldn't be like if I'm like, you know, reciting the rules, regulations, terms and conditions, and you know that little thing you click when you're going to accept cookies when you're on the site.
Yeah, I'm sure there's something at that.
In there about that.
I never read those. All that does now that they're on every website is that nobody reads any of the privacy.
Yeah, nobody
stuff.
Reads it.
That's you know, our government at work trying to protect us all the time.
Thanks, GDPR over in Europe. All right, next we have Autumn Presswood in the live chat. First time going over the 4th of July. And remember, make it to our podcast meetup. It's a salute to all podcasts, but mostly the Be Our Guest podcast. And we're going to be in Japan July 4th, 8 o'clock. Be there. She says, we are planning Magic Kingdom on the 3rd, Epcot on the 4th. You think that's a good plan? Pam, that is the Forrester plan. That's tried and true.
It is. It's been used for holidays that celebrated in the Walt Disney World for many, many, many years. And it's always worked for us. Go to the Magic Kingdom the night before the actual holiday and then go to Epcot the night of the actual holiday. Because Epcot is the one park where you don't feel like you may have someone like actually standing on your shoulders or, you know, I get like a little bit of personal space. It's not my normal or my desired level of personal space, but it is some.
So. I think this year I'm going to just hop on Mike's shoulders and that way I can see the show because, you know, I'm so short, and B, just to invade his personal space in the most intense way possible.
Actually, right now is my preferred personal space. I'm the only one in the entire basement as we record in the studio here. So that's preferred. So it's not optimal, but it works.
I'm just going to hop on the shoulders. It's fine.
Okay. We'll try it. I'll be a salute to all podcasters, but mostly Ricky, apparently. So anyway, it's good.
Then I'd be giant once in my life. I mean, I would be taller than I ever thought could be possible.
And Matt Parrish would be behind me saying, what are you doing putting a kid on your shoulders? We talked about that on the show a few weeks back.
Never mind.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway. All right, we got to get to the inbox too. So keeping things fresh each trip, Jennifer says, hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. Ricky, your name was spelled R-I-C-K-Y, just for the record.
Yep,
it's okay, though, Jen. We understand. Her parents spelled her name wrong. She says, this is Jen, listening up in Connecticut. Thank you for keeping me entertained 3 times a week on my commute as I deal with my missing Disney disorder. As a clinician, I have diagnosed myself, LOL.
Nice.
That's good stuff.
There you go.
My husband, 2 daughters, who are 6 and 10, and I are annual pass holders and frequent the world a few times a year. With frequent trips, we always try to incorporate at least 1 new experience each trip. And we're going to talk about this more on Friday, so stand by for that. On our upcoming August trip, we have tickets for early morning magic at Hollywood Studios and also plan to do that as our start to our 4 parks in 1 day challenge. I've been contemplating the H2O glow at Typhoon Lagoon, but wondering your thoughts. I know Pam recently did this event. We're also planning on a day at Typhoon Lagoon, so not sure it's worth it. I was hoping for an Illuminations dessert party, but don't see any listed, so I was considering the dinner package at Rose and Crown, but then again, not sure it's worth it since we have the dining plan already. Any input or other good ideas? My last question is about kids, is about ages for kids to ride without adults. My girls have been dying to ride together instead of splitting up and each riding with my husband and I. Just before this trip, my youngest will turn 7. Am I right with her being 7 and older daughter being 10 that they'll now be able to ride together? Thank you so much for all you do. I hope to meet you one day, maybe wine and dine weekend, Jen. All right, let's take the second question first. Ricky, what's the official word on how old you have to be to ride without parents? 7 and 10 too young?
Officially, I think it's 14 and 7. Like, you know, a 7-year-old can ride with a 14-year-old, like that kind of, I think that's what it is. I think. I remember the age of 14 for some reason.
Could they I don't know, because like Mallory looks old. She's 11, but she looks a lot older. I mean, I'm wondering if like one of them could be on like a pirate ship on Pirates or on Peter Pan, and like the others like on the parents right behind them, or you know, say like Winnie the Pooh.
Something that's tame. I mean, I don't know. Although in that regard, and like in Winnie the Pooh, they'll be on the same in the same.
Yeah, that's
car.
Right. They'd be with
so
somebody
like
else
that
anyway.
One. They probably could sit next to each other, but like. I don't think that they'll let them be on their in their.
I don't
own,
think so. At 7,
like seat at 7. I think that 7 is too young for that.
Yeah, because the oldest one's only 10. It's like it's a sitter. I would say just try to make a compromise. Let them sit in their own row, like on Small World or you know Winnie the Pooh or what have you.
Yeah.
Pirates. Yeah. Something like
I
that.
I definitely think Seven is too young to be sitting with a sibling by themselves.
What about Haunted Mansion, though? They might be able to get away with it on Haunted Mansion.
No? I don't think so. Mm-mm.
It's
no,
funny. That's
you, scary. You can't see them.
Yeah, that's so. True. All right. Okay. Well, so I like the idea of the keeping it fresh.
I also think it's for safety purposes. Oh, I know. That's the main reason. You can't see them.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's in case the attraction breaks down. Then, you know, if you like you're in a Haunted Mansion doom buggy behind them and they can't see you, then they panic and then you have bad things happening. So I think I know that's the reason why they say you have to ride with an adult, at a, you know, first up to a certain age. So, yeah, that's why it's more for safety. Yeah. If the attraction breaks down than anything else. So
it's like Dick, like Ricky on Dinosaur is what it is.
Yes, exactly. So
in case it breaks down. All right. So Pam, give her some feedback. They're always trying to do new things. You got to preview the H2O Glow Nights. Now, here's what I'm thinking with that. Let me just throw in some feedback there. I think this is a really ingenious idea for the summer because, to me, now I'm not everybody, but I like 3 or 4 hours in a water park and I'm good. Like, I've got my fix, and with it being a smaller event, you know, you're getting some extras, you're getting some, you know, music, some cool lighting, some, you know, opportunities to buy some cool snacks. 3 or 4 hours, and at night when it's not just Africa hot, you know, or like Animal Kingdom hot, like it's just like blazing hot, like St. Louis and on the 4th of July at the VP Fair. You know, if you're from here, you know what I mean? It's just like you can't even stand up. I think that that's a good option. Instead of going for the whole day, mix it in. Go to the glow party. What do you think?
I agree. I think it's reasonably priced when you think about the different, you know, the things. And there's actually some really unique things that you're only going to be able to do if you're attending one of the Glow Party nights. I mean, first of all, there's a lot of that food that's only going to be available during Glow Nights. Hello, that sparkly unicorny shake thingy do that I had. That's going to be there. But in addition, there's going to be, you know, party T-Rex party saurus.
Yes.
So I mean, hello, when else are you going to be able to see him? So that's a cool
and
thing.
Forky is going to be there. And I mean, Forky's a blow up, but Forky is there, so just so you know.
Forky
for sure. And but then I think actually there's a lot of cool things that Disney is doing after hours, so I'm going to bring up the villain event that's happening after hours this year, which I think is really cool. It's Villains After Hours at the Magic Kingdom. And again, there's going to be things that you can only do and only see there. So you're going to still have the ability to experience the 20 attractions with little or no wait, right? But there's also going to be unlimited ice cream and popcorn and soda, blah, 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 that kind of stuff. But there's going to be a brand new show, Villains Unite, Villains Unite the Night, Villains Unite the Night, and Hades and Meg and a bunch of other. I know, right?
Meg is my spirit animal. I love her so much. She is me. Yes,
it's awesome. I think that's really cool just to be able to do that. And the dragon from the show, from the parade, is going to be doing stuff.
You'll
too.
You'll be able to see her like around the park, just like, you know, riding down the street.
I know.
Awesome.
So for me, I might actually think about doing that. Now, this is only occurring June 6th through August 8th so far, unless it's like popular, who knows, they may extend us. But I think that that's kind of a cool thing to do, and it's new. And not that many people have done it. And it's actually one of the first times that Disney has done that. And you know what happens after they roll it out for a little bit. The next time it comes back, it's a little more expensive. So,
yes, this is true.
Yeah. Get it on the ground floor, my friends.
That's true.
I've actually had a couple guests, you know, come to me and book trips just to go to the Villains event. Like, they're like, oh, that's man, awesome. They added this. I'm going to go this summer now. Too. So that's pretty sweet. I mean, that's dedication to your villains.
It looks really cool. Not going to lie.
I know. Yeah. I was actually just looking at that because after we're going to be there with everyone else, we're staying through to see Coronado opening up.
Yes.
And I was just thinking, man, I wonder if I should book that. Because then you get to do all those attractions.
Yeah.
So,
I don't think it's happening while we're all there. I think, right?
If I remember. No, July 11th.
Yeah, that was the bummer. I thought about it too myself. I was like, ooh, can we do it? Oh.
If I had two more days, I'm going to get Florida residency on this trip. So I gotta be careful.
I feel like it, yes.
I couldn't believe I added two more as it is. But we're going to have some fun on those 2 days, so that's good. All right, anyway, Julie's got a question in the live chat. She says, staying at a split stay in February, we're definitely doing half at Animal Kingdom Lodge Jumbo. Which do you recommend for the other half, French Quarter or Riverside? It'll be my husband, myself, a 9-year-old son, and 6-year-old daughter. This will be our first moderate stay. All right, first of all, here's my tip. Always, and from way back in the day, people have been saying this, do the moderate first, do the deluxe second. Just because you want to have the kind of the more intricate experience, the more deluxe experience at the end, I think. But, these are pretty close. French Quarter, Riverside, 9-year-old son, 6-year-old daughter. Good thing is you kind of share everything as far as pools and stuff. I don't know. I'm not even going to answer this one. Pam, what would you pick? Because I don't know. There's not a really right answer.
No, there isn't. But you know what? The last time we were down, I was actually just looking at my pictures, and I noticed that we went over to French Quarter a couple times to eat in their food court.
Yeah.
At different places. And there's just something about that French Quarter food court. Now, in addition to all the other pluses of staying at French Quarter, and that is the fact that it's a smaller resort. It's really themed. Now, Riverside is themed too, but just being able to walk down those streets, you really sort of feel like you're in a very clean New Orleans. And I love, you got to look up at the little road signs. You got Rue de Bega and things like that. It's just a really cool thing. There's a lot of nods to New Orleans in that space. So I really like that. I love their little lobby area. It's just so kind of cool. And the food court's another reason. Now, the thing about Riverside is I like both the mansions and the bayou rooms. In fact, I think the bayou area is a little more themed than the mansions. You also have access to not just the main pool, which is like an old watering hole, but you also have a bunch of quiet pools too, which that may be important for you as well. The other nod, though, to French Quarter is they have a really cool small children's playground area at the pool there. It's a water play area, and it's very cool. It's one of the nicer ones on Disney property. So, I never help with things like this. Never, never, never. I always just make the decision more difficult.
So. Well, it's because, we're going down and staying at Riverside for 3 nights before the cruise just to be in and settled and all that stuff. And I just, want to have a couple days with, my family, and we're going to kind of just relax and have some pool time. But I picked Riverside because you get two pools. It's a good deal. And you get, we can do 1 day over at French Quarter, chill out there. 1 day at Old Man Island, chill out there. Two great pools. And, that way, I'm big on Disney Springs. I want to catch that boat down the Sasagula and have dinner. And plus you got, boat rides is, it's hidden gem. People don't talk about boat rides. I've had two good meals in a row there. Pam, I know you were there with me that one time. I know you're not going to write home about that restaurant, but it's nice to have on site.
No, I think it's a good, honestly, the thing about boat rights that I think is so good is, first of all, it's a one credit meal if you're using the dining plan, and there are lots of great things from which you can choose. So that's a big nod for there. It has food that I think there's dishes that are familiar enough or, to people who maybe consider themselves a little bit more picky, but then they also have things for people who are a little more anxious to try something different. So I think it's absolutely a great location too.
Yeah, I think I had jambalaya there for the first time and it was good. I'd never had it, but it fit the theme of the, it was cool eating it there because it fit the theme of the whole experience. You're at Riverside, you're seeing the boat and it was fun. All right. Next question from Tim Madden says, we're doing a cruise this fall, staying at the hotel at MCO, like we have in the past, but getting in early enough to hit Disney Springs for the afternoon or evening. What is the best transportation for two between the airport and Disney Springs? So I did Uber. You're going to pay probably between, I got from Wilderness Lodge to the airport for $39 after the Star Wars race, and we were down there last April, Pam. Now, I know I paid $70 to get from the airport to a Disney Springs hotel back at the beginning of May because it was surge pricing because of just the every cheerleader in North America was claiming luggage right next to me. So yeah. I would say, time's money. You can schedule a private, shuttle or something like that, but I would just Uber and just eat it and probably $45 maybe in a tip. Ricky,
each way.
Thoughts? Yeah, each way. Yeah, each way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if
you're not going to rent a car, for one night.
No. Well, you're there. They're staying at the airport, right? That's what they said.
Yeah, they're staying at the Hyatt.
You could get a car.
You could get a rental car for the day a lot cheaper than that. I get them all the time for ridiculously low rates at the Orlando airport. So I might.
So you think you might get a car
option.
For like $30 for the day that you could just drive it over? That would be cheaper.
That's exactly what I would do. I would absolutely get a rental car. I think that would be way cheaper.
But there's certain locations that you can drop it off. So Alamo and National are going to be the ones.
But they're staying at the airport. They're driving back to the airport. So they just drop
off. They were getting from the airport too. No, they're staying at the airport.
Yeah, I think they said they were staying at the airport. So okay. I just rent the car, drive to Disney Springs, and then drop the car off at the airport stay at the hotel. Yeah, exactly. That's what I would do.
Just rent like a Yugo or something, like for like $12.
Like the complete, like the compact economy car, just, you know, something with crank windows. Yeah. You don't even have anything fancy. Just like
shut up. My Jeep has crank windows. What are you talking about, you
of
snob?
Of course it does.
The whole doors come off when it gets hot. So there you go.
You know, the door lock that you have to use with your finger, not the.
That's what I have. Quit making fun
of
my car.
Automatic locks.
Quit making fun of my car, Ricky. All right, Justin, my good buddy's got a question. He says, money is absolutely an issue, but should I upgrade my Coronado room to a tower room during my Galaxy's Edge trip during Labor Day week? Remember, I'm going to have to take out a small business loan to pay for all the stuff that I'll buy in the land. Good luck and have fun making that lightsaber. I think I just need someone to enable me. All right, so I'm going to go to the chief enabler in charge here, Pam Forrester.
Correct.
Give the 7 reasons why he should move to the tower and get the deluxe lightsaber while he's there.
And one of those droids.
Oh, yeah,
hello.
May as well you may as well bring home R2-D2 for $25,000.
Right,
absolutely. So anyways, dying that I'm the chief enabler. I actually would like that actually as my title, the chief enabler.
There you go.
So anyways, so here's the thing that's going to be cool about Grand Destino Towers. First of all, it's going to be brand new. And there, I will tell you, there is just something about staying at a brand new kind of, even if it's just brand new rooms, right? Yeah. And these rooms, you know, they look really nice. So I think it's just going to be a cool experience. You're going to want to eat at Toledo's up at the top. And I know you could stay anywhere and eat there, but there's going to be something cool about just riding the elevator up to this new location that's going to have spectacular views. It really and truly is. I like Coronado. I think it's a great resort, but I think that there's just something even more stylish about the towers. And the fact that they have, you know, concierge rooms and suites and things like that. Now, I'm not going to really, really break your budget and suggest that you should be, you know, stay at the Mac Daddy one bedroom presidential suite.
He may as well just stay in the casitas in that place we had like 40 people in for a meeting, that room with like the big board table and 3 bathrooms.
Right?
Yeah, heck yeah, why not?
That was cool.
That was cool.
Yeah. But anyways, but I think you're going to really, I think sometimes if you're like me, if you stayed at one of the regular rooms, every day when you walk past Grand Destino Towers, you're going to be thinking to yourself, shoot, I wish I would have stayed there.
FOMO.
I know, right? Because it's going to be all new. You're going to walk into your room, it's going to smell new, it's going to look new, it's going to feel new. So it's just going to be a fun thing. And how often can you say you're one of the first people to stay at the resort? So love that.
You got in on the ground floor, even though you're on level 7.
That's right. That
off. Yeah, no, I would splurge. It's really, I mean, if you look, I've been looking at the prices for like the tower standard view. Like, it's a few bucks a night more than like a standard view regular room. It's not a big deal. I thought it'd be a bigger difference than it is. I mean, by a lot.
Right.
It's not. All right. Next. I just said it's not. You know what? You know what's in the elephant's trunk?
It's not.
It's not. Anyway, Eric says, has anyone here seen Yeehaw Bob? I feel like he's almost got a secret little cult. Now, I think what it is with Yeehaw Bob, I've seen him many times. I'm friends with him. We're friends in the fact that we wish each other happy birthday and stuff on Facebook and communicate from now and then. And I feel like I'm his go-to guy when it comes to the bird and the nest and the egg and that stuff. And I gotta run around with my binoculars every time I'm there. I just think this gentleman is an amazing talent. He's a great guy and he does a lot for charity. He's over. If you don't know, he's always over at Give Kids the World doing free shows for the families. He's also spent his summer doing programs at the local libraries and stuff for outreach for kids. So he does that. He's just a really good guy from what we don't hang out. We don't like go have Coke Zero together. But from what I know of him, he's a really good guy and an amazing talent. And he brings an energy to the River Roost at Riverside that, mm-hmm. first of all, fits the theme perfectly. But also, it's one of those, we talk about this often on the show. You know, you go down, you're excited to see Illuminations or do Flight of Passage or have, you know, this meal at Narcoosie's or what have you. But many of the memories that I have, like of tears streaming down my face because I'm laughing so hard or I'm sore because I was doing, you know, the YMCA and I threw my shoulder out or something. It's the entertainment. And it's Bob. He's by himself. It's him and a piano. And he brings the house down at Riverside every time I've been there. So, I would say if you've never done that, go by and see one of his shows, usually Wednesday through Saturday nights around 8 o'clock at the River Roost. And also Teresa's mentioning Bob is going to be at the Indy Disney meet September 21 in Indianapolis.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And we're lucky to see them. I mean, that we get to see him in even a really cool setting outside of Disney World. I think that that's the great thing about seeing Bob at the Indy Disney meet. So yeah, he is. He's a great entertainer. He totally cracks me up. The persona that he plays, I think, is fantastic. Really and truly. The way he remembers names, yes. and faces and stuff like that, I think is incredible. So, yeah, love seeing him each time.
Yeah, there's a reason people go back to see him. I mean, I know that there's a lot of people that will not go to Walt Disney World without seeing one of his shows. Like, he is just as much a part of a Disney, like an annual Disney vacation. Mm-hmm. Going and seeing Bob is just as much as going and seeing Happily Ever After. It's that way. So
yeah, agreed.
And you don't have to be staying at Riverside either. You can just come in and see the show and, you know, have a drink and have a, you know, they have appetizers and stuff. It's but the place isn't big. So I'm just telling you, if you want to get a good spot, get there usually about 7:30. The show starts at 8-ish. Okay, mm-hmm. Sarah's got a question. Hey, Ricky and Pam. Well, I'm not here. That's good.
Ha, sucker!
What are some of the must-have treats and snacks that we should not miss this summer? Mike, I know your heart is in all the ice cream places. Okay, there it is. She knows that I'm eating ice. I'm hanging out at Ample Hills. So there you go. All right, so Ricky, give a couple good snacks for the summer.
All right, so they have, they have just a ton of them that they just keep rolling out. I feel like I just keep finding out a new one every single day. The ones that I tried most recently while I was down there were the Bugs and Grub ice cream sandwich.
I saw that. That looks so cool.
So this was at Disney's Animal Kingdom. It's available at the ice cream truck in Anandapur, as well as Trilo Bites. It is a green cone with, now it comes with chocolate ice cream, but you can do either vanilla or swirl too. And then it gets coated in cookie dust, chocolate cookie dust. And then it has a gummy worm and it has a chocolate ladybug. This was really good. I will say it melts really fast. Ask for a cup or two because you're going to need it. It will get all over. Also, don't wear a white dress. That's probably good.
I usually try to avoid the white dress on days.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah. So just know that that's a huge mess. But it was good. I also did the Celebration Push Pop. That's available at the Magic Kingdom. I will say it's very tiny for the price. However, I thought it was that the cake is, so it's like Celebration cake, like Funfetti cake. And then it has some like icing mixed in and stuff like that. And sprinkles. Again, really good. I wish the price was a little less because it's priced more for the novelty than anything else. But I really like the flavor of it. And I also tried the Mickey and Minnie Whoopie pies that they have at Columbia Harbor House. I thought that those were just okay. They were a little dry, actually, in my opinion. They look like Mickey and Minnie. They're kind of cute. So those are the things that I just tried on my most recent visit.
All right, Pam, any other suggestions for summer snacks?
Oh, golly. You got to do the Tangled Eclair and the Wish Granted Aladdin Donut and whatever new. They keep coming up with the new ice cream treats over there where Ricky got hers. So try those. But that's the beauty of this. And I had mentioned this at one other point in time, but It used to be in the past that only Disneyland got so many of these great, fantastic looking and tasting treats. But this summer, Disney World has really rolled out their carpet and sort of said, you know what? We're in the food game now. We're in the cool looking food game.
Absolutely. Yes.
So there's, I think there's, that's
the,
really cool.
There's also the giant Mickey donut. With you know, it comes in either white.
You can use the snack credit for, by the way, $8.99.
And it's a huge donut. Like, this is something you will share. Do not eat the whole thing yourself. And then the other thing that I was looking at getting, but was just too full for, is at Storybook Treats, they have an ice cream right now that has edible cookie dough pieces in there. Like giant, like, you know, actual hunks of cookie dough. And I definitely will be getting this in July when I'm down there, because I had to pass. I had to pass on it. I just had too many sweets when I was there this past trip. But yeah,
Really, will there ever be a day where Disney makes a dessert or some kind of a snack anymore that is not Instagrammable? Like,
never will
we have a normal pretzel ever.
No, ever. Definitely not.
That those days have flown the coop. All right, next question we had here was, and yes, Jay, my Jeep is deluxe. It does have cranks, not zippers. My old Jeep had zippers. Now I've graduated to cranks. All right, next, this might be the last question. We'll try to squeeze it in here. It's Ashley from the live chat. I've somehow convinced my boyfriend's sister to come with us to Disney in Florida, and she's never been down before. How do you think I should keep her involved in planning without overwhelming her? And I think this is a great question, because everybody gets put in this situation at some point. You're excited. Somebody new that's never been is going to go with you. You want to get them excited and get them in the planning stages. But I mean, if you don't know, it's really hard, and you want to give them information, but you don't want to wipe them out. So Pam, what would you say to Ashley as far as involving her boyfriend's sister first trip and adding her in to the equation?
It is hard. It is hard. You really have to strike a balance between providing them with so much information, their head wants to explode, and helping them be informed. So I think one of the things that I first try to do is, you know, what part of this is the most important to you? Like, are you interested in looking at the dining? Are you interested in different rides or attractions or shows? Or from what you know about Disney, what's really important to you? And then, or you can parcel it down even more and say, you know what, we're going to be in the Magic Kingdom this day. Where would you like to eat this day? And give them a choice of like two or three things. Or which attractions would you like to do? And give them a choice of like two or three things. Then that sort of helps them choose. Plus then, come on, as a planner, we know that you have ideas on where you want to go too. So if you pick the two or three things, then you know that you'll get to do what you want to do too. So it's a good way to go.
And my big thing is, I just say throw resources at them. Not a ton of resources, but general resources like websites, you know, podcast or two, Beer Ghost podcast, you know, blogs. But I mean, don't give them like a list of 50. Give them like two or three good ones that are general, not super specific ones. Ricky, any final thoughts on that?
I think Pam is exactly right. You don't want to give them too many choices, because it's just going to blow their mind. So I think, you know, getting a feel of what type of experience that they're looking about having, you know, whether they are looking at shows, or, you know, whether they are looking for thrill rides. You know, when I took my mother-in-law, for the first time, I kind of knew that she didn't want to choose go on the thrill rides. So I kind of tailored the attractions that we did based off of what I knew that she would want to do. So that's kind of the best advice that I have, is really kind of look at what they're kind of thinking about, of what their comfort level is, and then go from there. I think that's really going to be extremely helpful.
All right. Well, thanks to everybody who joined us in the live Facebook chat. You guys had great questions today. We didn't get to all of them, but we are going to get to them next week. So come on back for that. If you have questions, Mike at BRGuestPodcast.com. We pull them from the inbox as well. But great questions today. It was a lot of fun talking about all these topics. Now I need to go get a snack. I need ice cream with cookie dough somewhere.
Yes.
Anyway, today's show brought to you by our friends over at VirtualMickey.com, home of great apps like Theme Park News Disney Edition. Ricky, what are we reading about this week on Theme Park News Disney Edition? Lots of news.
Lots of news. And the one thing I would like to talk about is how guests can now meet Bo Peep from Toy Story 4 at Toy Story Land at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Bo Peep's a little unsettling, not going to lie.
She's porcelain, kind of.
Her face, Her face is a little off-putting, but if you'd like to meet off-putting Bo Peep, you can do so now. She's meeting with Woody a lot most of the time, although I have seen some pictures of her by herself. But yeah, go meet unsettling Bo Peep.
You know, I mean, you know what? Like, you see those pictures of like Mickey and Minnie from like the 70s. I mean, wouldn't that be classic to have a picture with one of those like scary Mickeys from back in the day? Like, I survived that. I mean, come on, this could be the new thing.
I just don't know what it is. Like, I know she's like, she's like
plastic. Yeah, she's shiny.
She's porcelain. Yeah. You know, she's porcelain and like, because she was a lamp.
She was.
You know,
I didn't
like,
know that.
Well, she was like on a lamp. Like, I think that's what she was, right? Huh. Like, she was on a lamp,
no,
if I remember
the
right.
The genie was in a lamp is what it is.
No, from the first movie, I think she was, like, attached to a lamp. And her sheep were, like, next to her. So I don't know if it's the porcelain face that she has or if it's the eyes that are just off. I'm not entirely sure which one it is. But, yes, Eric, she looks like one of the... Well, my brother actually said she looks like one of the characters from The Purge, so...
I don't know
if I'd go that far, but yeah, she kind of looks a little just off.
So there you go. We're selling it right now. Get to Toy Story Land. Meet Bo Peep this summer.
Purge Bo Peep.
Crazy.
Wow.
Well, make your own decision. Check out the pictures. Theme Park News Disney Edition. It's a free app for your iOS device. Grab it now at virtualmickey.com. Also support the show with our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Really, it does help support the show, even the small purchases. So please do bookmark it on all your devices and use it often. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. A couple quick announcements. We're having that meetup 4th of July at Epcot, Japan, 8 o'clock. Be there. Salute to all podcasts, but mostly the BR guest. And of course, we got the Double Dip Castaway Key 5K Challenge, which if you're running or if you're running with us on Castaway Key, make sure you sign up. $5 to get in on that. If you're cruising with us, only $20 to do the virtual 5Ks and get that awesome medal. All the details are on the right-hand side at brguestpodcast.com, so sign up today. Give us a follow on the Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike, and drop by the Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, all that stuff's out of the way to say we're going to be back on Friday talking about all the new stuff happening at Walt Disney World. If you want to do something new, there's plenty to do in the next 6 months. We're going to talk about it on Friday's show. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.